The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And welcome once again, everybody, to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. This is Thursday, April the 6th, and that means it's finally here. First round.
What, Thursday?
Of the Masters. Yes, another Thursday. First round of the Masters has finally arrived. We've been coming to you live here on Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio all week long, getting ready for today. And it is here. The weather is nice as far as no rain, but it is a little brisk, and it's certainly windy. And that's the factor that'll, if you will, hamper these guys for the next couple of days, because it's supposed to stay this way till Friday. Saturday and Sunday look really, really gorgeous, and mid-70s for the high. But right now they're going to have to fight some of the winds and some of the chill. A lot of underlying stories going on for here for the first round, which we will talk about coming up in just a little bit. We have a few guests that are going to be joining us, and as always, have a good time here doing the show. This is a podcast, so I know that a lot of you are listening to it later today when we're coming to you on Thursday and maybe even a day or two after that. So we'll give you some updates on what's happening, but it might be certainly dated by the time you hear the show, but we'll keep you updated to what we're seeing and experiencing as we're doing the show. Frank Bassett joining as always. Frank, how are you doing today?
Everything I'm doing good. How are you? Good evening.
Well, lost my running shoes, but apparently we found them, so I'm okay now.
Yeah.
I thought Jordan Spieth stole my shoes.
Well,
that was the story. That was the big.
You accused him of stealing your
shoes. That was the big story earlier today in my mind.
They moved in our house, and you accused him of stealing your shoes because we moved to another house.
So that
it's really nicer than the one Spieth
staying. So that the Spieth family, we don't know who it is, but someone in the Spieth entourage.
That's right. We can't say that, can we?
Could be at that house, but somebody stole my shoes. Now, apparently they've been found.
Probably his mother.
It's like the Kardashian diamond heist. It's almost the same thing. It's right up there in that level with somebody stealing my shoes.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be here. It's great to be here at Azalea House.
Who's that sitting next to you? Why do you have somebody next to you?
It's also really good to have the CEO of a fabulous organization, company, has a couple of players out there playing his putters, Mr. Jim Grunberg from the Seymour Putter Company. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Frank and Tim.
How you doing, Jim?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
This guy's a Stanford graduate. He's the smartest guy on the dais up here, you know?
Well, it doesn't normally. We can put a trained chimp next to the two of us and
pretty much give them that same
recognition, being the smartest person on the dais.
By the way, thank you, Jim. Seymour Putter Company is a sponsor of Golf Talk America and also a sponsor here at AzaleaHospitality.com this week for the Masters.
Look at the bag of putters we got right here.
I know it. I'm stealing every one of them.
Got about 20 different putters, all different head covers. Who do you have out there? Who's playing? We know Zach Johnson. Everybody knows Zach Johnson is your big guy. Who else you have out there playing with Seymour?
Russell Knox and Roberto Castro and Ernie Els.
Mr. Els is out there.
He's out there. Easy. He's teeing off, and I think a lot of people rooting for him. This is this is the end of his 5-year exemption from winning the British Open. So if he doesn't win this week or win on the PGA Tour, they're saying this could be the last time, down Magnolia Lane for Mr. Els. And I think that's, disappointing. He had one of the great careers of all time, but just didn't include a green jacket yet. So wouldn't that be a great story if he could somehow get himself into contention?
See, that is the beauty of winning at the Masters as opposed to other majors, is that until they give you that nice letter, you can play pretty much forever. And keep coming back. And even Sandy Lau, is certainly well past his prime, got off to a pretty good start. So at least for that 1 year, you kind of get ready for it, play, and you might have a good, at 56, 57, 60 years old, kind of have a good couple of rounds in you to play. Marco Mira's out there playing in this year's tournament.
Rod Pampling is doing very well. Yeah,
so it's kind of neat, and you're right. Ernie, I'm sure, would have liked to, in the last 20 years, have won one of these green jackets to ensure that you always get to come back, and that's obviously not always the case. So, but we'll see how he does with his Seymour putter.
I think he was expecting, hopefully a playoff. The year that Phil drained a long one.
Yep.
So
he was there waiting.
He was right there. So he certainly is capable of winning here. And so, at this point in time, I believe he'd be right there with Jack in terms of being in, on the other side of 45. I think he might be 46, 47 years old. So you never know.
Well, Phil's 46.
Yeah. 46. Exactly the age of Jack. It's been brought up. And we'll talk about the leaderboard, even though, again, it could be dated by the time you hear this. But as we're doing this live on Thursday, Thomas Peters has the lead. He got to 5 under when he birdied the 10th hole. Then he came back and bogeyed 11. And so he's dropping back to 4 under right now, but he has the lead by 2. Let's see who else we have. Ricky Fowler with a birdie on 9. He is now at 2 under as well. Russell Henley got it to 2. He's now fallen back and finished at 1 under par. So leader in the clubhouse. Looks like Henley's first guy to finish up. He bogeyed 17 and then parred 18. So he is at 1 under in the clubhouse. That is your early, early leader. Jordan Spieth earlier, we mentioned him. May or may not steal my shoes. He got to 1 under, birdied the second hole, and then bogeyed the fifth hole, and is still, last we saw, still at even par for the tournament. Again, early in the first round here. And Phil Mickelson with an eagle on 2. Then he gets a birdie on 4 to get to 3 under. Then he bogeyed 5 and he bogeyed 6. So he is now on the ninth hole, and he is at 1 under par. So Phil's playing well, but the wind is a story here, and we've talked about that a little bit, and you'll probably hear things falling on our heads as we're doing the show here from the Azalea House, and we're outdoors. As you can tell, we're covered, but it's outdoors. The wind, Jim.
It's windy.
20 miles an hour. Gusts are saying up to 30 miles an hour or more.
Look how windy it is. Marcus Burnell, the owner of Azalea House, just got blown out the front door.
The flying nun. How ironic is that anybody would call him the flying nun?
Really?
Flying or nun. But, Jim, the wind is going to be a problem out there for some of these guys.
Yeah, there's no question. We feel the gusts, and so it's not even just like a steady, consistent hard wind. It's a hard wind with gusts up to 35, maybe even 40 miles an hour. And this golf course, really, if that's the one thing that they don't usually have to worry about, is wind is a huge defense like that. So
because there's a bubble. There's a dome that people don't know about.
Sure.
So it's over Augusta National.
Yeah, no question. And the players, you know, when they're down low, they won't feel the wind necessarily when they're standing over the ball, but they'll be able to see up in the trees that the wind is swirling. Very, very tough to figure out which way it's gonna go. And so today's gonna be about planning your misses, really, because I think the precision that you normally have to have at Augusta is just not going to be there. So it's going to be a game of survival, missing in the right spots, and really thinking your way around the golf course. And, you know, maybe getting a birdie here or there when the wind works for you. But even guys that are jumping out early, every hole is a new adventure in serious winds like this, all the way down to the putting.
By the way, defending champion,
Danny Willett.
Everybody seems to always forget about, right? They talk more about what Spieth did or didn't do than what Danny Willett did.
Very true.
You know what he's off to?
What?
A bogey-bogey start.
Well,
a double bogey-bogey start. He's already 3 over.
And speaking of a double bogey start, do you know the name of the number one hole at Augusta National?
They all have tree names, don't they?
They all have
trees.
T.O. Jim Grunberg went ding, 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 ding. Jim Grunberg won. Okay. Then Jim, what's number two?
Come on, Frank.
I gotta get you. Come on, man. Pink Dogwood. We'll be going through some of the holes during the show today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, because they're really neat names, and I want to do some research. Chinese Fir, number 14.
That's one of the traditions here at Augusta, that they, when they designed this course with Mr.
Who?
Help me out here.
Who?
Robert Jones.
Is it
Alistair
like?
McKenzie?
Yes.
That they came up with names for trees that are indigenous to this area that they name every hole has. And a lot of people don't know that. I mean, that they bring it up. Jim Nance brings it up a lot of times on the CBS coverage. But most people don't know. They know 4, 5, 8, 12, but each one. And Frank will give us the lowdown on all 18 of them at some point during the course
of this
week.
It was a nursery.
Yeah. Hey, I was here. Just a side point here. Came in early and didn't participate in it. I went to the drive, chip, and putt competition, and Condoleezza Rice was there, and Matt Kuchar, and Bubba, and Adam Scott, and everybody came out to support the kids. And it was really cool to see those kids' eyes light up walking on the 18th green and chipping out of the bunkers and blasting out of the bunkers. And I really, really, really am thrilled about what Augusta National, the PGA of America, USGA, everybody's done to put this together, because Augusta National is the driving force behind it, and it's well worth being done.
A couple of other things of note for this first round. One is that we kind of buried the lead here. The number one golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson, hurt his back yesterday at one of the rental houses that most of these players stay at, various houses. Slipped on some stairs, hurt his lower back, has some muscle issues in his lower back, and hit his elbow as well. He's out on the range right now. He's the last tee tee group, group to go off today. So that gives him a little bit of a luxury. And as we sit here now, he has about an hour before he's supposed to play. We've seen him warm up, and he looks a little ginger.
I'm not laughing
there.
At him. I'm laughing at everybody hollering at us out there.
Yeah,
sorry. But, yeah, he looked very tentative when he was swinging.
So we're not sure if he's going to tee it up or not. Or he may try it and then get to five holes and say he can't do it. We'll find out. But number one golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson, obviously not at peak physical strength when he's going to be playing here in certainly one of the first majors of the year, but one of the biggest tournaments of the year, and for a lot of these guys, their entire careers. Another big thing was this morning the ceremonial tee shot that hit, which in the past several years has been Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. And we all know that Mr. Palmer passed away, and so they had a very pretty and touching ceremony where they came out with Winnie Palmer and Billy Payne, the chairman here at Augusta, walked out and had a green jacket that was Arnie's and laid it on an empty chair to symbolize Arnie being there, and that was his chair. And then Jack and Gary hit their ceremonial balls, and we weren't there on the site when it happened, but from what I've seen in the videos and read about, pretty emotional for everybody. And even Jack and Gary were kind of tearing up before they hit their ceremonial balls.
Jack even took his hat off and raised it to the heavens and looked up in tribute to Arnold Palmer, which was very touching.
Yeah, so very nice. I mean, again, all these things make it so special to be here at Augusta, but a tough time for the first time in, good God, 50 years that Arnold Palmer hasn't been around.
So it's hard to believe.
And it was nice that they did it, and it was like everything here. It was well done, but understated, not a big thing. There was no fanfare really more than just what it had to be. And so we are officially underway. But we talked about this yesterday, too, in a bit of a tongue-in-cheek part of that ceremonial first shot, is that through Twitter, Gary Player had been tweaking the Golden Bear about out-driving him last year and hitting the ball further. And, you know, Gary is, I think, 6 years or so older. I think it's like 82 to 75, somewhere in there, age-wise. So he's older than Jack. And he was like, hey, but I out-drive Jack. So Jack, this week, was working before he came here with Rory McIlroy. And Rory said he tweaked his drive a little bit, and he thinks he's given him a few yards. So afterwards, Jack did say, although it was still, I think, kind of more of a ceremony to Arnie, didn't want to make fun of everything. He said, I think I got him. Maybe it was a tie. Gary's saying it's a tie. But the two of them just still have that fire burning, don't they? It's like, by God, I'm not going to let you beat me.
But McIlroy tweaked him to a plus 15 yards.
He says.
15 yards plus.
Yeah. Is what he said. He said he took the
yeah, I do.
That's a long way. That's 75. You had 15 yards by tweaking a driver.
Okay, so your club head speed has to be what increase of 15
age,
yards?
I mean, he can't
get it over 88. Maybe
huh? Not even 88. I don't think it is age. No.
Really? Well, it sounds like he was fit for a club. So you know, not to say that he hasn't been fit lately, but maybe you know. Speaking. I mean, he came out of a tour truck and probably you know applied the latest and greatest, and maybe he can find 15
yards. The man speaking right now knows a little bit about club fitting since he is the CEO of Seymour Putter Company, Mr. Jim Grumberg, one of the best putters on the planet. Thank you very much, and one of our sponsors.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the official record is, but let's just say it was a tie.
Tie.
So next year they'll be fighting it out again. To see who outdrives who and find out who gets the bragging rights. Hey, we're going to take a quick time out. We're going to come back, and when we do, David Johnson will join us. David Johnson is the young man, if you all remember, back to the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine that basically challenged a lot of the European guys who could not make a putt on the practice screen that I could make that putt. And, of course, they said, well, sure you could, buddy.
Come on,
out here and prove
come on,
it.
Big boy, let's see it.
And I'll be darned if he didn't come out there and prove it.
And guess who he interviewed with
as a true American. Who do you know? Hang on.
Our show, I think it was, wasn't it?
Is that who the first interview was? Well, who knew?
We beat
knew?
Jimmy Fallon and Ellen DeGeneres. There you go.
so now we got him here.
I don't think he gets enough credit for setting the tone of that entire week.
Good point.
He really did set the tone of that entire week.
Good point.
Let's talk to him.
Good point. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with David Johnson, find out how his life has so drastically changed in the last several months. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Thank God you pointed at me, Frank. I would have no idea what I was going to do.
Go, you're on.
Go with it.
Go.
Do something.
We're back on the air.
This is Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett. We also have Jim Grunberg, the CEO of Seymour Putters, with us today.
My buddy.
Sitting here in the set. It's a chilly azalea house that we're coming
cold.
To you from. And Frank, by the way,
it's cold.
Give everybody a lowdown on Azalea House. If they want to know more, find out about some cool events like Hazeltine, which we'll talk about here in a second. Azalea House people can take care of you, right?
They can. They took us to Hazeltine, by the way, and they're great. AzaleaHospitality.com is their website. Anything you need from the Super Bowl to the Kentucky Derby to the Indianapolis 500 to
Major
the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
We're going to the Ryder Cup in Paris with Azalea House. And we're here at the Azalea House, 1100 Azalea Drive. Down the hill, just
from the gate. Just the gate there, yeah.
A 62 away from the gate. So there you go. Thank you, Azalea House.
And by the way, while we're talking about a tournament, and you have to have the right software if you're going to have a tournament and put on a great tournament,
really?
Like Augusta National does every year, but even if you're going to do it at your local club, who could help them with that, Frank?
Let me think. Probably Golf Genius, don't you think?
What an appropriate name.
No, Golf Genius was used by head pros to manage 2 million rounds of golf in 2016. To ensure the success of our customers, Golf Genius delivers a reliable and continuously enhanced product and offers fast and knowledgeable customer support to help them set up and run perfect events every time. GolfGenius.com. Thank you, everybody at Golf Genius. They're collaborating with the USGA, as you guys know, and there are tens of thousands of GEN members, clubs nationwide. So, yeah, it's some really
very
cool
nice
software. You don't have to be a club pro to use it.
By the way, Jim, he memorized that. I know it sounds like you read it, but he memorized it.
I memorized that.
He's got it down.
He's got it down.
He sits at the house at night.
I do.
With a little hot toddy, and he goes through his lines.
Hot toddy?
He says, Tim, see if this sounds good.
Here it is. Alpha, beta, gamma, Gulf delta, genius. Epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
No idea what that is.
Okay. Greek alphabet.
There you go. This show is nothing if it's not left turns.
This is not NASCAR, is it?
Hey, by the way, again, doing a podcast here, so we are going to be dated, but we're going to keep you updated, and we're going to keep ourselves and the people here in-house, because we have thousands, virtually millions, right here in front of us.
We do.
Listening to this show here at the Azalea House. Listen to them go crazy. Kevin Chappell now has the lead, along with Andy Sullivan at 2-under, and that's because Tomas Peters, who had it at 5-under, when he made the birdie at 10, then goes bogey at 11, double bogey at 12. What is it with 12? What is with that hole? And now he is at 2-under as well. So three, and now Ricky Fowler is also at 2-under. So four guys at 2-under par, anybody's game right now. Russell Henley is looking good. He's in the clubhouse at 1-under, and he's 12, probably happy to be in.
12 is that little par 3, 155 yards.
What's it called? Is there a flower for that one?
Yeah, there is, the Golden Bell.
The golden, it's golden, not what bell those guys are calling it.
No, they're not. We can't
promise
say that.
This Thomas
is a
Peters
family and a PGA
golden
Tour
bell
show. We have to be nice. So,
hey, by the way, we were talking about what happened earlier before we took the break. What happened at Hazeltine at the Ryder Cup.
Chaska.
And yeah. U.S. dramatic victory.
Very.
And I think the tone was set by the fan who came out of the stands just with a beer in his hand saying, hey, we're having fun here. And you guys watching the Europeans on the practice green could make a particular about 20-foot putt or so.
Yeah.
Kept trying, different guys were trying, and this guy comes out of the stand and says, you know, I could do that. And they said, well, get under the ropes. Let's see what you can do. Hand him a ball, hand him a putter, and I'll be darned if he doesn't drain the thing. The rest is history.
They weren't that polite, though, to him. You think you can make this, huh? Well, come on under here, big boy.
One of the first times in history that heckling has really paid
off.
It
really paid off, yeah.
It
didn't get kicked out. He actually got invited under the ropes. David Johnson's his name, and he joins us now. David, are you here somewhere? David, can I? Oh, there you are.
Right here. I am right here. Happy to be here.
David,
thanks
I couldn't see you in the crowd. Again, buddy. So. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
So how did, just give us your own version. I kind of, you know, did my own little reader version of that thing. Tell us exactly how that went down.
I liked your version. Yeah. I would like to go with that. Every time we start talking about it, the putt gets longer and longer. So
okay, it was a 2-foot putt, and I said 20.
Before we dig into this one thing, just a little piece of advice. I wouldn't do it here.
No.
I've been advised.
No,
yes.
David, David, I'm the opposite. Go try it. Seriously.
Yeah,
try
right.
It.
Yeah, right.
You will get so much more attention. You will get
number 01734 will never be seen again.
He's like handcuffed and let off the
right.
Yeah, we'd love to see that. But that's pretty much how it happened. You just, what were you saying to the guys?
That was about right. I mean, we were sitting there, just got there. They were looking over the putt. They couldn't get it in. And for some reason, I yelled out I could make the putt. Henrik looked over at me. I made eye contact. I got a little nervous, thought about running the other direction.
He's a little intimidating.
He is very intimidating. Good guy. But he looked back at the hole, and I swear in his eyes and what he was thinking is there's no way. Yeah. you come out here and you show yourself up here. Yeah, good luck, and somehow it went in. So
Now, nobody hassled you as far as coming in under the ropes? They said it was fine and everything? Or any security or any other issues there?
There was a security. I just really looked at him. I said, you're good with this? He goes, yeah, thanks for asking. And, okay. I mean, when
Henry... Now, were you wearing flip-flops or tennis shoes, or what did you have on?
Sanooks. Yeah, Sanook loafers.
We're not all from Minnesota, so I mean, Sanook,
hey, that's a California company.
You know what? Okay, but the next time he does it, he's going to have on canoes.
Yeah, he'll have canoes.
Exactly. Absolutely.
They do have spikes in canoes.
The official golf shoe of the Azalea House.
It is. Right. It is this week.
So you just walked out there and eyeballed it, and you gave your one. They gave you one shot. It wasn't like you got to hit six or seven putts. Well, it was one shot.
Well, I'll be honest. I went out there and high-fived them and.
I'm and who like, was out there? Henrik and who else?
Henrik and Rose, Rory, and Sullivan. And it ended up being Sullivan's putter, so I'm not surprised that he's leading the tournament right
he's
now.
He's got the magic on it.
Yeah.
Well, the putter was about half the normal length you use.
Yes.
It was tiny.
It was very, very short putter.
Well, you're a tall guy. You're like what, 6'10"?
Yeah, 6'5", close.
Okay.
It seems like everything you're telling me here, I'll take it.
Trust me, that's 10.
I exaggerate everything.
But wait a second. He's staring you down. You're thinking about running. And then how did it come to your being invited out there?
Well, he looked at me. He goes, well, if you can make the putt, come make the putt. I said, okay, I'll make the putt. I went out there. In my head, there's no way this is going in. I walked around the green for about a minute, a couple different angles. Everyone's like, can you just hit this so we can move on?
Had you been drinking?
No. Yes.
Very little. Very okay. little. It was early. We had just got there. We just got our first one, and this went down. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to celebrate the Ryder Cup as we were planning to. You know,
they didn't invite you out on the green afterwards. Like, where's David? Get David out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right. And I actually asked Henrik when I was walking back. I go, what do you got for the read? He goes, you said you got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, wouldn't even help it. You said you got it, big boy.
And what did it do? Tell us how, am I exaggerating? 15 feet? How long a putt was it?
It was somewhere 12? Around 13, 15 feet.
Okay.
Honestly, I played about a foot and a half break. That's one thing you can't really tell from the video. And I hit the putt and...
Well, wait a minute. Before you hit the putt, though, just to mess with your mind, didn't McIlroy do something to you? Or was it Rose?
Rose. Yeah.
Threw down a $100 bill?
He come running up. You know, I see in the corner of my eye, he comes running up, throws a $100 bill down. You know, it was kind of an afterthought at that point, but I'm like, okay, this is real now. You know, I was just enjoying the moment to begin with. I'm sitting out there on 8 green at Hazeltine and just living it up, and he makes the moment real, and that's when I really got nervous. And, you know, I thought about it and hit the putt. It was terrible, and then all of a sudden it broke into the hole.
Now, are you a guy who normally would at a golf tournament be screaming, yelling, are you that guy?
Yeah.
You're the man!
I haven't used that phrase, but, well, not really. Not at a normal golf tournament. It was just the Ryder Cup.
What did you think? Like, let me just say something here out loud when everybody's just watching these guys play. What came over you?
I have no idea.
Really?
I have no idea.
The official salute the troops beer Budweiser.
Yeah.
It was. He said he started one. It couldn't have been. So I was wondering if you're a little bit inebriated, but you aren't.
No.
You're just having a good time.
Really weren't.
And that shows you, too, the Ryder Cup, while you're playing, is very intense. But it's a lot of fun and camaraderie around it, and certainly in the warm-up.
The atmosphere
is
phenomenal.
That Rose would even come over and say, here's $100.
Right.
When they're about to play some of the most pressure-packed golf is kind of amazing in to itself. But the fact that you know, they were cool about that and had you come over, because you're right, Henrik looks at you, and it's almost like, oh, my God, I'm dead. I don't know what I did. But I mean, his eyes just stare at you, right? It's like black eyes.
And he's really a really sweet guy.
Great guy.
Very dry humor.
Yeah.
Just very dry humor.
Yeah. You just don't know it when you're seeing him on the golf
And I really enjoyed, you know, afterwards, when it all happened, I was able to get back down onto the driving range and talk to those guys again, spent a little time with Henrik, and great guys. I mean, he was
they loved it. They were your fan.
What was your reaction afterwards? The guys were high-fiving you? They treated you good?
They did. I mean, it was just great.
Did you use a fake Irish accent to make it seem like you were part of their team more?
Here's what's interesting, though. He makes the putt. All that goes on. It's going around. I'm in the media center. We're doing the show. You're on with us. That happens. So Chris Demain from the Azalea House look at Chris and we say, get him. Go get him. Get him into the media center. So we had to get special credentials because you know how they can be just a little stiff about credentials. But we got him into the media center. He graciously came and did the interview with us. And so we invited him. The Azalea House invited him to Augusta for the Masters. How cool is that?
What other kind of interviews have you done? Have you been invited to do other interviews on other shows? Since all that?
Absolutely. I mean, it was very busy with interviews and you know, people I met with and
his agent now is like, got an agent? Of course I've got an agent.
Yeah, he sent us a rider. Yeah. He wanted yellow M&Ms in this room. Fiji water. I mean, come on.
No, the next morning it was live on SportsCenter via Skype. I was on Good Morning America, a couple other bigger, you know, the WCCO in Minnesota. Yeah. Then I was invited out
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. So I went out to New York and was a part of that. And yeah. I mean, it's just been a phenomenal experience, and you know, to go through it, and just lucky to be fortunate enough to be able.
That was really cool. But you were interviewed for a golf.com article.
I was,
and you made a statement in that article that the most fun interview you had was ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we, you know, how much we appreciate that. We probably should pay you, but we can't.
Yeah.
Well,
we might have.
You can.
We might have a Seymour putter. We might have a Seymour putter for you.
I'll take it.
Yeah. We do, Jim.
We'll
Jim,
do that.
Go there. You
absolutely.
Go there.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we'd love that.
You should be an official Seymour putter guy. I mean, obviously, that's the perfect club for you.
Yeah. Putting is about confidence, and this man had confidence that day.
What do you normally shoot? What kind of handicap do you carry?
I'm about an 8-10 handicap.
Okay. So you're a good golfer.
But with the Seymour, I'm telling you,
with
the Seymour
putter, you'll be playing air to Augusta next week.
Right on.
But you said you didn't think you hit the putt well. You said when you hit the putt, you didn't. You for a second there, you thought you hadn't hit a good putt. And
well,
then...
the problem is I've never been on a green that fast.
Okay.
So when I read the green and looked at the green and hit the putt I thought I was supposed to hit, it was a normal putt that I'd hit back home at my course. You know, so once I hit it, I realized that it's more like concrete. And it just happened that my read worked.
So the hole got in the way.
It did. Yeah. It stopped the ball.
Yeah, yeah, it did. It hit the back of the cup.
And you're exactly right. I mean, the major championships, Ryder Cups, people don't understand how fast those greens
are. Unbelievable. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
We're talking with David Johnson and his claim to fame putting on the practice green at the 2016 Ryder Cup at Hazeltine and taking on a challenge from the European guys that – And how many guys had tried that putt and were missing? You were watching for a while. Was it like
made it?
Was it like
nobody
0 for 10? But I mean, like 0 for 10? Or was it a bunch of putts that you guys
were
trying?
Was about 8, 10 putts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and nobody could do it.
Rory was hitting it. Sullivan was hitting it. And then that's when Stenson and Rose came over, dropped a couple balls down, and that's when I decided to be loud.
and how old are you?
30.
You're 30. Does it bother you at all that that's where your life peaked, right there, from now on?
That's me.
From this,
you
point,
know, this
from this
is,
point
I've
out,
heard this multiple times.
Downhill.
I don't think it's peaked yet. You know, I
no?
get to do
you
stuff like
else?
This.
You got something else going?
Well, I'm in Augusta right now.
You're on Golf Talk America?
Golf again, which is fantastic.
That 15 love minutes that, is spread into a year.
I love this show so much. I was on the course at the Masters, and I left to come here to do this interview.
Wow.
That's how much
how
I love
cool
this show.
That?
That's awesome.
It has nothing to do with the open bar that's inside Azalea House.
Yeah, is there a bar here?
It doesn't
Azalea
hurt.
House is pretty good.
It doesn't, he's an honest guy from Minnesota.
Yeah, the Azalea House has been phenomenal, too.
What do you do for a living? I mean, when you're not doing interviews.
State Farm. Okay, I didn't want to get the wrong one. So,
and they transferred you?
National Commercial? State Farm?
I am not.
You should be in a National Commercial.
Turn that into a commercial.
And like a good neighbor.
Somebody has a video rights to that.
I'll trust you guys to work on that.
I'll give them a call.
you seem to have all the connections.
And you're
so, well, you had a few.
You're from Minnesota, but now you're in North Dakota.
Correct.
So you moved to a different office or something? The State Farm?
No.
Did they get you out of town? What happened? Give us a true story.
No, I just, when I relocated for college, and I just ended up staying in the state of North Dakota and love being there and raising our family there, and it's phenomenal. So
it's beautiful up there, too. Yeah. I'd not spent a lot of time on the northern tier of the country. Yeah. You have. You've been up there, Tim.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
In the Chicago area, so yeah. It's It is very. It's
not beautiful.
Snow's coming right about now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Snow.
It snowed yesterday.
Hey, it's in
it, really?
It's supposed to snow in Chicago today. I'm not kidding you.
Well, it's 62 here, and the wind's blowing 100 miles
crazy,
an hour.
But yeah, snow still is.
Although it's supposed to be 65, 70 by Saturday. So, you know, that's what they say about North Dakota.
Global warming, Frank. Yeah. Global warming.
If you don't like the weather, North Dakota, wait 5 minutes.
That's Florida, too. Same thing.
It's everywhere.
We had a tornado here. I mean, the first
we survived,
week, right
we survived
over
that.
The top, we saw it go form and go right over us right here.
So, David, are you going to be here all week? I mean, I say that almost like you're performing. Are you here all weekend? Two shows on Saturday?
You're right. No, this is my only day that I'll be on the grounds, and then we're sticking around tomorrow and then flying out on Saturday.
And who do you pull for? Who are you here hoping to see a little bit of and hoping that they maybe are holding the green jacket on Sunday?
You know, that's really tough for me.
A lot of guys from your area like Zach. You know, he's an upper Midwest kind of guy. You know?
Of course, we like Zach.
Yeah.
Of course.
He does play a Seymour putter, by the way.
That helps.
I did not know that.
That does help.
David will be playing one shortly, too.
Yes, he'll be fitted. The reason we're not going to hand you one is because Jim wants to have you fitted properly for the
And you're 6'10". You have to have the right...
right.
Have the right
7 foot.
Yeah, you got to have a driver length putter. Yeah.
Anyway, who would you like?
It's tough. I always root for the U.S. and our golfers. You know, I like what,
Jordan Spieth.
I like Jordan. Absolutely like Jordan. Spieth. But, you know, I with this wind like this, it just, you know, it leads me to believe that the Europeans are going to have a little bit of a leg up in this year's tournament.
You know, Texas knows how to play in the wind, too.
Your dad's screaming out from the audience here, Freddie Couples.
Well, he thinks Freddie's going to win every year.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah, he thinks Freddie's going to win every year.
Sned's, you know, Nashville guy. Sned's is one over. He was two over. He was one under. He's kind of gone all over the board. So,
yeah.
Snedeker, maybe. Jason Day, just giving you a look at today's leaderboard as we speak.
What's Fowler doing?
Still at one over. Ricky's at two under. He's tied for the lead.
Ricky's been playing
right now.
Well.
So he's been playing well. Has been.
Justin Rose has been playing well, too.
And Rosie's up there. Rose is at also. Oh, he joins the leaders, too, now. He's at two under. He just buried number nine.
I was psychotic.
Well, DJ blessed the field by getting hurt. So, you know, I think that relieved a lot of golfers when
we're still
happened.
Seeing that, you know, he's warming up right now. And we're still waiting to see if he's going to tee it up and play or not. But,
so, David, what's up next? What's the next tournament you're going to?
I don't have a next.
What's your next appearance?
I don't have a next, unfortunately.
Yeah. Your dad's not your agent.
Yeah. Well, there's a tournament at Erin Hills, so hopefully we'll be able to get out there. I believe that's the Open.
What is that tournament?
Isn't it the U.S. Open at Erin Hills this year in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
We're just playing.
That is close enough.
There we are again, Upper Midwest, for God's sakes. You'll probably be appearing on Good Morning Fargo, right, at any next week or something, to be a co-host or something.
That's right. Well, I was on a show down there for the local
Sure you were.
I'm going to take a clip from this and send it to Stephen Colbert, just so he understands that Frank Bassett is a better interviewer than Stephen Colbert.
That's what Frank's got out of this whole thing. We've been talking for 30 minutes.
There's nothing else in this. It's amazing. The headset is expanding.
It's exactly.
The headset is expanding as we talk.
He's got that type up.
Yeah.
I wrote that. It's in my show notes. Look, I ran out of printer ink. Look at the first page of the PGA Tour stats.
There's Frank Bassett. There's Mike Wallace. The two great interviewers of our era. Those are the two. And Frank's right there. Well, David, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
We'll let you get back
into the bar first, then get back up and watch some more of the first round. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it, buddy. All
thanks,
the best.
Thanks for being here. David Johnson. Ryder Cup hero. That's his title.
Heckler turned hero.
And turned it all around for the U.S. All right, we're going to take another break. We're coming to you live from the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia. The 81st Masters just underway, about midway through the first round, and the leaderboard is kind of jam-packed. We'll tell you more about that when we come back. Again, you're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with the rest of the crew here at the Azalea House. We're coming to you live from Augusta, Georgia. It is Thursday, and it is the first round, opening round of the Masters, the 81st Masters being played right now. A lot of drama out on the golf course, and we'll catch up with what's going on out there as it's happening to us here live during the first round. The big news is that Dustin Johnson, the world number one, has withdrawn from the tournament and is not going to obviously play for any of the four rounds. Hurt his back falling down some stairs in the rental house that he's staying in. And I guess it was severe enough. We watched him warm up, and he talked to some therapists and doctors. We thought he was going to and got the okay that he was going to play and start to play in the first round and have a therapist nearby that if he needed him to work on his back or do any kind of therapy, he'd had the okay to do that during the round. But at some point then he decided he's not even going to give it a try. And so he withdrew from the tournament. Bad news for a lot of fans, certainly bad news for him, maybe in a quiet kind of way. Probably good news for a lot of the rest of the field because DJ certainly would be one of the favorites to win as well as he's been playing. He's never won the Masters, and I didn't have him as my top two or three guys. I just don't know that this course suits him that much, but certainly you can't deny how well the guy's been playing. So a big news story today that Dustin Johnson will not participate in the Masters this year. It seems like Tiger's out and Rory's missing. A lot of guys are missing majors, which I understand it. It's different than other sports. We're going to talk baseball here in a second, but then a World Series, whatever. You may not get back. These guys know I'll be here next year and I'll play in another major. It's, I guess, a little bit different because I keep thinking to myself, well, if I'm going to play in a Super Bowl, I would miss it. I mean, unless you drag me off the field, I'm playing in the Super Bowl. You don't know you're coming back. These guys have four majors every year, and if you're at that level, Dustin's got to say, well, I've probably got 20 more, 25 more of these to play in as far as majors. So I guess it's maybe a bit of a different mindset. We're talking baseball because with us right now is Gary Sheffield. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing,
Major
buddy?
League Baseball All-Star, nine-time All-Star. You played for 21 years?
22.
22 years?
22 years.
It's hard to do the math. It's a long career.
Long time.
Hey, started in the 60s, finished in 2009. Hit over 500 home runs, 509 to be exact, 1,600-plus RBIs. Fantastic career. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, man.
This, this is your first Masters.
Wonderful experience. I never imagined that I would have so much fun watching pros do what they do. And golf does that for me, you know, and TV does it any justice.
No,
it doesn't give it
so
the
your
credit.
Your first time at Augusta on the property was today, or have you
yes,
been to practice rounds?
No, I was actually going to come, but, I didn't know if it was going to rain it out or not, so I didn't bother coming. So
what was your first impression when you walked out and you first walked near the first tee or wherever you came out? What were you thinking as you walked the grounds?
Wow.
Yeah. It's like heaven,
it's intimidating. I mean, like, when you see it on TV, it doesn't do it any justice because, you know, the ovulations and all of these things on TV, you say, okay, you know, it's a hill. It's a hill.
Yeah.
But when you get out there and start walking it, now my back's paying for it.
Are you saying your backyard doesn't look as pristine as this place?
Hey, not at all.
Nothing looks as pristine as this. What are you pulling for? You got any favorites that are out there?
Actually, I wanted Johnson to play.
Yeah,
because I felt like, you know, he's the best golfer in the world. And I've been saying this for a couple of years. I was telling my friends, I just felt like once he gets the master that putter down, I think he's gonna be dangerous every time.
Yeah. And he certainly is dangerous. How long have you been playing golf?
5 years.
You lived in some great golf communities, right?
Yes.
You look at the list of teams that he's played for. San Diego, Florida Marlins, the Dodgers, the Braves, Yankees, and Mets. You got some pretty good courses.
Oh, you got
in the
great
Northeast
courses
there.
And, I lived on a golf course in San Diego in Poway by Tony Gwynn.
Did you really?
And I went out there one time, and I broke the club, the driver.
Of course
and
you
Fred,
did.
And Fred McGriff kicked me off the course.
do you hear all that wind? All that wind?
Oh, yeah.
It's not the wind blowing. It's him practicing his swing. And that's what it sounds like when Gary Sheffield swings through at a baseball.
Oh, yeah. I go after that golf ball, though.
So you got out there and you walked on the course and went, oh, my Lord,
yes,
this is going to kill me.
I didn't think it was that tough to walk. When I first walked in, I said, this is going to be okay. And then when I got out there, the whole number, I think I started at one. I want to start at one and walk them all. So we cut. Then when I got to about four, I said, let's cut some corners here. I can't take this. So we start cutting corners, and we made our way through every hole. So that was a good experience for me.
But you got to see Amen Corner. Obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. That was the one that I had to see. And, you know, when you see those little ponds and the water going through, and then you start seeing these guys, they take their swings. And right when I went over there, I saw Phil hit his ball by a tree. And I said, well, he don't have a shot. And I'm telling you, it was uphill shot. He hit this ball. It's like he didn't even swing. And it barely cleared the bunker and rolled right to the pin. I said, this guy's too good.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible out there. So tell us what you're up to these days.
Well, I'm working on a sports complex in Tampa, that all sports give kids, you know, a chance to develop their skills, because I think that's what's missing in all sports now is the patience of developing. So when you get to certain levels, you're ready for each level, and these guys can go to A ball, work their way up, and they have all the skills by the time they get to the big leagues.
Is there a website that we can send our listeners to?
Well, it's not there yet. It's not there yet.
Okay.
It's up and coming now. You know, I'm still dealing with the city and the state and all of that. So it's a big deal, so you have to go through a lot of channels.
Well, promise you'll come back and talk about it on our show.
Oh, this is a yearly thing for me now.
This is it.
I'm hooked.
Anytime you can come back.
You know, we're talking to the great Gary Sheffield, and it's interesting that his first impressions, besides the fact that Augusta is just mind-boggling in its beauty, are the difficulty of walking. And you, yeah. you know, one of the great athletes, you know, of all time, yeah. suffering from some back pain. So I think to relate that back to Dustin Johnson's withdrawal today, I think we really have to realize yeah. that, you know, he's got back pain, and you're talking about walking the most difficult walking golf course in the world for 5 hours. So yeah. I really, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a – I don't think there was any gray area. If it was possible, yeah. you would have played.
Well, but I don't think a lot of people
you're
think
in
about
pain,
it, though.
And you, I mean, were you in pain this morning?
No, I no. wasn't in pain. I was fine. And I got through that. And then it made me think about him. I said, these guys really have to walk this. They hit good shots. Now you're looking at this win. I'm like, these guys are just too good.
They're incredibly good.
Do you get nervous watching other athletes
all
perform
the time,
at their highest?
All the time, especially the ones I like to win. And when I'm rooting for somebody, I'm clinging on to every shot. And when they hit the shots and it's over with, I can exhale then. But, you know, just watching guys that's your favorite, it's a wonderful experience. But it was almost like when I watched my Uncle Dwight Gooden pitch. It was the same feeling I got. As soon as they hit the ball, you think it's a home run, but it's a routine fly ball. So it's the same feeling.
So you think you possibly could feel as much stress as a fan as you felt
oh,
when you were a player?
Absolutely. I feel it all the time. Now, you know, I'm an avid, you know, just golfer. I watch everything they do. And you know, they told me a long time ago you need to play golf. But I was so scared that it was going to mess up my swing, I didn't do it. And when I got out of the game, 2 years after, I picked up golf.
What are your golf goals?
Just to shoot. I want to be a five. I'm halfway now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
That's
halfway.
Fantastic.
I'm about a 10, maybe a 12, but I'm bringing it down slowly. So I want to be a five.
Starting to get some invites for the for the celebrity.
Yeah.
And the
actually, when I played Lake Tahoe, I wasn't ready. I was 2 years in the game.
That's a crazy
and,
time.
Yeah, it's a what a way to
crazy.
Start.
Oh, man.
So on that one hole, I think it's 16, right on the par three, the water, I wound up hitting it in a lady's pocketbook.
Did you make any money on the shot?
Not at all.
We're talking with former Major Leaguer Gary Sheffield, nine-time All-Star. Let me ask you about the Hall of Fame and voting. And your name certainly comes up, yeah. over 500 home runs. I'm not sure if I'm right on this, 292?
292.
Career batting average. Played a lot of different positions.
Yes.
I mean, which first of all, so the versatility. Did you like that? Did you
no,
feel like
well,
you
it was,
just
it was
like
more
to settle
help.
In one place?
Yeah,
like
I wanted
around?
To settle in one place, yeah. but it started in Milwaukee where they felt like my size was more for a third baseman.
Yeah.
And it was always doing it for the team. You move positions because we want this player. And otherwise, you know, we have you at shortstop, but if we can put you at third, it helps the whole team. So I was willing to do it.
Now, of all the cities you played in, I'm talking about the Hall of Fame voting, mm-hmm. It helps if you play, I think.
Yeah.
It seems like. If you're a Yankee, if you're a Dodger, if you're probably a Cub now.
Right.
Some of the smaller markets sometimes get overlooked and whatnot as far as careers, Florida, right. San Diego, Milwaukee. But you played there, and so do you feel like you earned the Hall of Fame? Do you think that you deserve to be in that conversation at least?
Without a question. I mean, the thing about me was, you know, the time I played is different than nowadays when you got guys, they signed long-term contracts early. In our situation, you get to 6 years, you're moving on because that team may not be able to afford you. Just right. like San Diego, Milwaukee, they couldn't afford me at the time, so I had to move on. And so it became a challenge to me to play in the big markets because I always told that the reason you didn't win MVP is because you was on this team and this and that. So I said, okay, I'm going to prove all the critics wrong. So I was like, okay, I want to be on that team. And I'm going to do the same thing I did on the previous teams. And I did that and still didn't win the MVP. So
there goes, can't trust anybody.
You know, after what Tim just dissed, how many cities he just dissed, there goes our listenership in those cities. Thanks, Tim.
They're smaller markets.
No,
they
I love
them
all, though.
Hey,
I
listen.
I made great friends.
I was in San Diego when he was there. There's nothing wrong with San Diego.
Absolutely.
It's a good little place to be, isn't it?
Actually, I cried when they traded me.
Yeah.
Where are you playing?
We did, too.
I hurt bad.
Where are you playing golf in Tampa?
Carrollwood Country Club.
Carrollwood's a tough track.
I play Old Memorial.
Love it.
And we play Avila.
Avila's a great course.
Yeah.
I used to play Avila. I'm a Florida guy.
Right.
Okay, I've lived in Ponte Vedra and then in Tampa for a period of time before I came back to Nashville, Tennessee. And Avila, there was a guy named David Hurst. You know, remember David?
I don't know.
He owned like five minor league baseball teams.
Okay.
But he was a member at Avila. And I got in a gin game with him one night.
Right.
Yeah, I lost that car. I love that car.
He cleaned my plow. Don't gamble with the boys at Avila. Those
still
old dudes
soaking over there, right?
Yeah, man. Those old dudes are tough at Avila. I'm telling you. It's a great track, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a great track. Fred McGriff, the one, he moved there years ago. He told me about this course, and when I picked up golf, he was like, "You got to be ready, to come on this course and play." So
yeah,
it tests your game. You got to hit the spots and things like that. So
I had an opportunity to play with Warren Sapp.
Oh.
That was an experience.
Oh, it had to be an experience.
Yes. Hit the ball, drink a beer. Hit the ball, drink a beer. Come on, Warren. I mean, he crushes the ball, but he doesn't know where it's going.
He don't know where it's going. That's why. Well, that's what I used to do, try to hit it far. Now I just try to get it in the fairway. If I hit it 290, 295, I'm good. Yeah. What about I don't need a 340.
What about this morning? Did you get out to see? I was watching over your shoulder TV there, showing earlier today in the opening round in the first shot of Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player. Were you out there early enough?
No, I didn't get that. I missed that. Okay. I was trying to get out there earlier, but
it's like going to a Yankee game. It's kind of crowded out there.
I know.
Isn't it?
Trying to get you can't see. I'm not that. I'm 6 foot, and these guys 6'5" standing in front of me. I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah,
I thought everybody get to see.
No, not here.
It gets a little deep.
But that's why you got to find the right role.
That's
in the mound,
right.
You
when you get to the top of the hill.
Yeah,
and
you
then
stop.
That's right.
You get to watch everything.
How about the wind today? I mean, how do you feel about playing?
The wind was blowing out today.
Swirling winds
like
this.
Well, just think about it. If these guys can direct a golf ball with this wind, it's amazing. Because in baseball, when you're in the outfield, it's the last thing you want to see. Is a windy day and a fly ball coming.
And that's
at
a baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
So imagine how it manipulates the golf ball. Yeah.
Well, let's be honest though. I mean, two different ways of looking at it. As a baseball player, at the plate, little wind going out might not be a bad thing.
That's not bad.
Then you want it to die down when you go out in the outfield.
That's
you're talking about downhill.
The wind blowing out slows down the fastball.
See, when the wind blowing out, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah. It's like I'll DH today. Is
that's
that
right?
I'll just stay at the plate and hit some. What was your? Yeah. Did you have a favorite city? You said you cried. You go to San Diego. Did you
San
like
Diego
anyone?
Was it was almost like an experience to play with Tony Gwynn, Sheriff Fred McGriff.
Yeah.
That was an experience that I'll never forget, and it taught me so much about the work that you put in. Tony Gwynn used to get to the park at 1 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game every single day, and he was working on his craft. He could go out there and have the whole field to itself. So it taught me how to prepare on an everyday basis. And then when I went to other teams, I was always prepared. So I would say it was San Diego.
You won a batting title.
Yes.
Right?
That's the most relaxed
92?
I ever been.
Really?
Because what changed all that for me is I was playing third base at the time, and a ball was hit to me, and it kind of took a bad hop, and they called it an error. And I heard the fans say, "Don't worry about it. You'll get the next one." And that's the first time I ever heard that.
As opposed to booing you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I said, "This is the city."
So you're saying that didn't happen with Yankees fans?
Hey, you know what? I never was booed in New York.
Stuff
I never
really?
Was booed, not one time. In
really?
New York. Never.
Really?
No, they liked the way I played.
Yeah. If you hustle and you work hard.
I gave 100%, and New York, they're smart fans. They understand that.
I would imagine Tony Gwynn had, you obviously learned a lot winning a batting title.
Yeah.
Did it help your home run stroke too? Because Gwynn was not a big home run hitter, obviously,
right.
But had a sweet swing. I mean, just seemed like he knew exactly what field he wanted to hit to, and everything about hitting. Did that teaching help you also with your home run?
Absolutely, it brought out my abilities. I watched him, and I was hitting after him, so I got a chance. I had front row seats every time.
Yeah,
and to watch the magic that he puts on the display, he puts on an everyday basis. I don't care who it is. I watched John Candelari come in a game. This wicked throwing left hander.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way Tony's going to hit this guy. So how is he going to square this up?
Because he's throwing from first base.
Right. How are you going to square him up? And Tony came on the on-deck circle back to me when he was warming up. He said, "I'm going to take him deep to right field." And I was like, he must know something I don't.
Yeah.
And he goes up there, first pitch, boom, straight out of center field. Home run. And that's when I just put my hands up. I said, "He's the greatest hit I've ever seen."
I know. And you're hoping to get a piece of the ball, right? Like, I just want to hit it somewhere.
I mean, just imagine watching that front row seat and somebody telling you that this is the big leagues. This ain't, high school. This is the big leagues, and he's doing that.
It's also probably worth bringing up when you mentioned Tony Gwynn. Did you ever chew, smoke, anything with the tobacco issues that
and
he
I
went
stopped.
Through? Yeah.
I stopped.
I mean, that was
– As soon as that happened, I stopped.
Yeah, I mean, right so away. Sad. But, I mean, it's a good message for today's baseball players, the young guys, that think, I play baseball, I'm in high school, I got to chew or dip.
Well, you know, it comes from – you know, for me, I never did all of those things in the infield. It's when I moved to the outfield.
That you had room to spit?
Yeah, I had room to spit, and I was bored.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
And I was bored.
That's very true in baseball.
Right. You don't spit on the dirt.
You don't
spit
on the infield. Yeah, you
spit on
the
grass. Yeah. See, people don't think about that.
Incredible.
So when you're out there, you got a lot of time to yourself. You may get 3-4 balls a game. You may get a ball hit on the ground. You roll to you. But it's nothing stressful.
Yeah.
And so you get bored and you pick up these bad habits. And
well, I just think I think it's important for any young listeners out there. Just don't get into the habit.
Don't,
it's just such a bad thing. Guys like Tony Gwynn, unfortunately, are examples that you can use to say it doesn't lead to anything good.
No, it's not.
Chew bubble gum.
You know, because I watched him and I watched him. He would keep a dip in all day.
Yeah.
I mean, like in the locker room, then it goes on the field, the same thing. And so I could see where it does a lot of damage.
Yeah, yeah. Terrible. Go ahead.
Wow. You know what? You were one of the great hitters of all time, the prettiest swing I've ever seen. But given the fact that you did play with Tony Gwynn, who also, you know, I believe is one of the greatest players of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've always thought that he had so much more power than people realize he had
if he wanted it.
Is that true?
It is true because, you know, we watch Tony Gwynn take batting practice every day. And you know, he's not trying to hit the ball out over the fence. But when he want to pump it up, he's hitting the ball for just as far as anybody else. And I said, Tony, why don't you try to hit 25, 30 home runs? And he was like, I don't have to.
Because I hit 390?
Yeah. The 390, the doubles.
He said, I'm not
he hit
willing,
what he needed to.
Right. He said he's not willing to sacrifice, you know, 30, 40 points on his average.
Yeah. Which it was. I mean, career average of what? Like 330, 340?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
That's a
nine batting
high
titles?
Average.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come easy. I mean, the preparation, the practice that both of you Hall of Fame players
mastering that six hole.
And you watch the professional golfers, and they're the same way, right, in their craft.
Well, I was just telling my friend, I was like, you know, the one shot that I'm afraid to take on a golf course is the flop shot. I can
do
it.
Swing.
Yeah, I can do it. It's just I'm afraid to take that shot. And they say, man, you know the work that these guys put in? And I just came to the thought that, hey, they pros. They put in the work just like we did in baseball. To be able to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and then lay off a good slider takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. We're talking with Gary Sheffield, 9-time All-Star Major League Baseball player. You're going to be here all weekend to watch what's going on?
Yes, Sunday.
All through Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Watch Can't miss it, man. This y'all don't even understand how excited I am.
No.
We can see it. We see it in your face. It's
very
cool. I can see you're excited.
I'm so excited, man.
Are you staying in a rental house here or something?
No, we're going back and forth to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because watch it on those stairs if you're in a rental house.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself. Don't come down those stairs.
Yeah,
you're
man,
not going to play any golf when you're here.
Yes, we're playing tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
we're going to
get a chance. I have no idea. I'm just going
with
the flow.
Yeah. You think you're going to get on that course over here on the other side of the fence?
Some kind of way I'm going to get over there.
Augusta Country Club, that's up right behind it.
Whatever I can. They about to build another one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it. I may be a member.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
So if I get to Tampa, Florida, let's go play.
You call me and we're there.
I'll do it, brother.
Whatever you need. Whatever you need.
The life of a retired major league star player, is it a pretty good life?
It's the best life ever.
I mean,
it's like
because in today's world, and I don't mean, I'm not putting dollar signs on everything, but you've made a pretty good living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, and probably even guys in your early days when you retire, did something else. I mean, they kind of, but it comes to the point now, and the money is so big that you guys could retire at 40, at 39, if you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough money to last that you can play golf for the next 60
years
of your life.
That's all I do. That's all I do. My wife says, you're cheating on me.
Do something, would you? I'm playing golf. Right?
And putting his time towards the charities, which are great.
I love doing that.
You can do that.
I love doing that.
God bless you. I mean,
that's awesome.
I'll die and come back Gary Sheffield. Man.
You know, Dave Winfield prepared me.
Did he?
Yes, he did. You know, I was all.
Dave had a few contracts.
Oh, yeah, but see, he taught me about being prepared for the, you know, the second part of your life.
Because Tony Romo, you never know, right?
Yeah, you got to walk right into something else to keep your mind occupied because come January, February, my mind is like, for the first 2 years, it was like, I got to get ready for the season.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
And so after a while, you get over that, and you're just on to your second phase.
And so golf has filled in that gap for you pretty nice.
Well, it's admirable.
That's right.
It's admirable
every
that you're
day.
Putting it toward charity.
That's right.
God bless your heart.
That's right. Thank you.
Such a great
thing.
All right, Gary Sheffield, we appreciate it. Thanks for being with
us. Thanks for having me,
guys. Take care, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Play good tomorrow.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Play good.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, we're going to take a break. Thank you, Gary Sheffield, Major League Baseball All-Star, for being with us. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank,
yes,
Jim and I will be back right after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett and Jim Grunberg, the CEO of Seymour Putters, coming to you live from the Azalea House. It's Thursday, April the 6th, and we've had a great show today. It's round number one of the Masters, the 81st Masters. The leaderboard has gone up and down and back and forth. Right now it's Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's at 3 under, and that's a far cry from where we were. We got some guys that got to 5 under, and they come all the way back. Including Russell Henley had a good lead for one time, and Phil Mickelson did pretty well, then came back.
The real story,
I guess there's probably two good stories. One is Dustin Johnson is not playing with Drew because of his back injury. The other is Jordan Spieth was playing so well.
Oh, Lord.
We took a break, and Jim Grunberg says to me, he goes, Tim, because he knows I like Jordan. He goes, Jordan got a 9 on 15. And I go, yeah, okay, what else? What's the punchline? He goes, no, he got a 9. And I go, well, he didn't get a 9 on – no, he got a 9 on 15. Sure enough, we go back and look at it, and he got a 9 on the par 5 15th hole. Don't know how it's almost possible, but he did it. So I said, well, I guess better on Thursday than on Sunday. But that's a blow that it could come back. Let's say he misses a playoff or something by one shot. You don't think he's going to come back and go, if I could have managed an 8, I would have been fine, right? I mean, a 9 is – so it's early, and it's only Friday. I mean, it's only Thursday, but – it's sometimes hard to make up for a quad bogey.
Don't rush it.
No question. It's one of those days where, very similar to the weather 10 years ago when Zach Johnson won with the highest score ever to win the Masters at plus one, but it was like this for 4 straight days. I think we're on the weekend we're going to pick it back up. But at this point in time, this is looking like one of the toughest opening days ever at Augusta. I believe Fitzpatrick, again, we'll see at the end of the day, but made a bogey. So at this point in time, there are no players on line to shoot 69, which for 59 straight years, somebody has done that. So that would be, you know, monumental. But, you know, guys knew coming into this. I mean, all the forecasts said this is going to be a very, very difficult day with wind chill and super, super inconsistent high swirling gusts. And that's what they've seen.
Even you know, Rory McIlroy, he's on the front nine still. He's 2 over. You know, so guys that we all consider and everybody considers some of the top golfers in the world are having their troubles. And when people talk about, you know, Augusta is perfect, it's so different than the U.S. Open where the rough is this high and all the different difficulties. Somehow this golf course still with a little bit, and it's more than a little bit of wind, the gusts have been up to 30 miles an hour plus and a consistent probably 15, 20 mile an hour wind. It's all the golf course these guys need. It's not about the length or anything else. They're all having their troubles out here playing. And but it's made it very competitive, and it's fun to watch. I mean, I don't care who does what, I can't stay away from watching highlights and what's going on at the Masters. Am I right, Frank? You the same? You with me?
Huh?
I love watching it.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I was taking a nap.
You're still thinking about Gary Sheffield.
I think, you know, you're going to see just, I mean, wedges on almost every hole from these guys because the landing spots are so precise and so small on every one of these greens. And when you get 20-plus mile-an-hour wind, there's no way you can play the normal game. So you start to look at where you can miss, and you try and scramble. And that's not, you know, a formula for going under par.
Here's some other guys near the leaderboard. And again, I know a lot of people are listening to our show because it's a podcast. They listen to it later on after the round's already over or even the next day. But Charlie Hoffman is now just one shot back. William McGirt, Bill Haas. I'm just saying, I don't know that those names will be near the top of the leaderboard or in the front page of the leaderboard when it comes to Sunday. But this is, you know, Thursday of the first round, and there's some guys that are doing well. By the way, they're also in their front nine. So by the time they get through, that 2 under could be 4 over.
Well, it's also going to be a lot prettier the next few days. It'll consistently warm up. The winds will die down. So whatever happens today, just try to stay in the game.
It's really just two tournaments. Number one is you have to make the cut. Because if weather becomes perfect on Saturday and Sunday, guys can go very, very low and come from probably well off the pace. So, you know, but if you can't make the most of it the next couple of days and you miss the cut, then, you know, it's a lost opportunity.
It's a long ride out of here.
It definitely is. Hey, by the way, I also want to thank Frank. We had a good show yesterday.
And I want to thank some of the people that were on our show yesterday, and I'll also thank the people that were with us today. Gilles Gagnon. Remember Gilles?
Je m'appelle François.
He's with the he's the director of golf sales at Casa de Campo.
Yeah, boy, howdy.
And great conversation with him. He's a French-Canadian guy that's been living in Dominican, trying to find a home, right? In the Dominican for the last, 37 years?
Yeah, why leave?
Yeah.
Why would you leave the Dominican Republic?
And a great, great guy. And hopefully in the near future we'll be doing some shows from Casa de Campo. Have you been there, Jim?
I've not.
Casa de Campo?
No, it's
everybody I know that's ever been
you
there.
You want to co-host?
I hear it's spectacular.
Yeah, you want to come down
I'd
with
love
us?
To co-host.
Want to come down with
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. I think that'd be
we'll
great.
We'll put you on the list.
Use your jet.
We'll put you on the list.
We can use the Seymour Putter Company jet.
Oh, I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. I'm going to book it today.
Okay, yeah. You got it.
Yes, yeah, secure that jet for us, would you? Yeah. I mean, it was anyway. He was a lot of fun.
You can come on the Golf Talk America Greyhound anytime you want to.
And everybody, Frank, everybody is loving the canoes.
The canoes are cool.
Will Backus,
cool shoes.
Will Backus is the representative here for Canoe Shoes. So check those guys out, Canoe Shoes. It's C-A-N-O-O-S, canoes. They're basically boat shoes that we've all seen for our whole lives.
Yeah, forever.
That he and his buddies came up with an idea to put some soft spikes on the bottom of them and play some golf if you want, but you can also just wear them around if you want
They're
to because you can take them anywhere.
Look what he brought me.
There you go.
Brand new pair of red canoes.
He brought me a pair of green. Charcoal. No, I've got charcoal.
Oh, you got the charcoal canoes?
Black or something. Yeah. I mean, they're anyway. So
Jim,
check them
where
out.
Are your canoes?
Canoes.
I need some green ones, I guess.
You do.
I guess you
go with your shirt.
I don't think he did. We did you not give him my size?
Apparently, I didn't. Yeah, no, it's my
fault. What size are you, Jim?
My bad.
I'm a 12.
They're just out of the 12.
Sorry.
Oh, they just
Cole Hahn is listening to the show.
Just sold the. You know who got the last 12s? I'm not lying about this.
Gary Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield.
You want me to go take them away from him? I'll go take those away from Sheffield.
You know,
go take them away from little Gary Sheffield.
He's a pretty strong guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a pretty strong guy.
Hey, who else?
We'd like to thank Gary Sheffield for being with us a little bit earlier, Major League Baseball veteran, and here for his first Masters. And great to kind of see almost the young, if you will, almost like a childlike eyes that he's seeing the Masters through. That he's like, wow, this place is unbelievable, like everybody would on their first time here. So thank you to Gary Sheffield for being with us today, too.
Yeah, that was fun. And also we have to big shout-out outside of Seymour Putter Company, who's always been a sponsor of Golf Talk America since day one, since we started this endeavor. Because
when we go public, we're not going to forget you.
Don't worry about the IPO, you got some early shares.
That's right. Look at this. And look who's walking in right now. Hey. The crew from the Omni Tucson, Tucson Omni Resort.
Did the prison bus just let out?
The prison bus just let out. Hey, guys.
Wow.
Danny Medina, Director of Golf Operations. So, hey, by the way, another big shout-out to one of our great sponsors, and that would be Golf Genius Software.
Yes.
And I think you need to go out there and look at them because discover why the USGA is collaborating with Golf Genius Software for golf tournament management. And they're serving golf associations and their thousands of gen members across the nation. So golfgenius.com, Golf Genius Software, and not to forget where we are. We are at the Azalea House, 1100 Azalea Drive in Augusta, Georgia, a 62-degree wedge to the front gate of Augusta.
Yes.
Marcus, Billy, Chris, the whole crew here, the whole staff's been incredible. And we'll still be here. We've got three more days of this thing to go with. But thank you, Azalea Hospitality, and AzaleaHospitality.com is where you go to find them. Where do we go to find Seymour Putters?
Seymour.com. S-E-E-M-O-R-E.com. It's a fun website. And, you know, real focus on the putting game. Again, we know the best players in the world do that, but most avid golfers could really spend a lot more time thinking about their putting, thinking about whether they've been fit for the right putter. And you know, we provide a lot of that insight. We have a network of global fitters that can help them because really, this day and age, people have wisened up to the fact that, you know, if I can find somebody out there who can really fit me for a putter, I can really save some strokes and enjoy the game.
So it's the Seymour Putter Institute.
Yeah,
Seymour. But to go to that, you go to Seymour.com.
Go to Seymour.com. Give us a call. You know, at Seymour Putter Company. We love interacting with golfers, people, whether they've ever used a Seymour or not, you know, to touch base with us. Info at Seymour.com is I think people really do enjoy it because we love talking golf and putting with avid golfers.
And your putters. Your putters only. So you're putter-centric.
We really are.
And we have the gorgeous Seymour putters that everybody's trying to take away from here. And you've been very gracious, by the way, Jim, and thank you Caddy for a Cure is one of our charities this week. The Folds of Honor is a charity this week. We had a great couple of events for that. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yep.
Major Ed Polito, that crew. But Jim has donated some putters for the auctions, some Seymour milled putters, some really expensive, cool putters. So, Tim, I guess we can't say that we want them, right?
Nobody would believe that.
Nobody believe it for a minute. Anyway, so that, again, and Golf Genius Software, guys, check them out because it's not just for golf pros. If you have a golf league, it's some pretty cool stuff, management software.
It stops all the infighting.
It does.
All the guys that bitch and moan and say, you know, oh, why didn't I get to play in this group? And now you didn't get... All the software takes care of all that for you.
Well, you know, Danny Medina, Golf Genius means less work for the pro staff, more fun for your golfers, and the opportunity to generate more revenue from your golf operations, Danny Medina.
There you go.
In the Omni Tucson National Resort. He's using it. Pretty cool stuff.
Matt Rollins, remember Matt yesterday with PXG?
PXG. What a great interview.
Great insight, too, into why and how they get the different tour pros they have. And PXG and the different clubs, the weights behind it. It's much more scientific than a lot of us.
Too.
I don't need to know all that science, to be honest with you. My mind is already so full of stuff. I don't need any more.
Full of what?
But all I know is that they work. And well, they're beautiful. And a lot of guys play them and are so happy to be playing PXGs.
And like Seymour putters, their greatest benefit is that they really can build a custom fit set for you.
Yeah.
And that's really what everybody needs. But, hey guys, let me just throw out another, little description here of the Azalea House, because this is my first time here.
Oh, that's right. You've not been
For anybody that hasn't been down here, it's really a cool setup because obviously there's no place in the world like being on the grounds at Augusta. But what a great place to start the day or end the day or even sneak away for lunch and come and gather here because it's right down Azalea Drive, two blocks away from Gate 4 at Augusta. And so, you know, a lot of times that's the only issue is logistically, what if I get separated from my group? I'm down here with some people from my company or with some customers. This is a really good spot to have access to because you can regroup. The Augusta badges allow you to leave and come back a couple of times. So it's really neat. I mean, I really didn't know what to expect, but it's a two-block walk, so you can go back and forth, and when you come down here, it's great.
We have complimentary shuttles here. So we can shuttle you up there. We have valet parking, hospitality all day, food. We forgot one company, doggone it.
What?
That would be Under Armour Eyewear.
Yes, yes.
And they're one of our sponsors this week. So really cool stuff. Very UnderArmour.com. UAEYEWEAR.com. UnderArmourHour.com or UAHour.com.
And check out canoes. Get some canoe shoes. And you know what? I got a pair. And you know why I got a pair? Because Jordan Spieth stole my shoes.
Mine are red.
Jordan Spieth stole my running shoes.
He did not. Oh, if he did.
Have we done the investigation?
That's what failed him on 15 today.
He changed his shoes after 15, is all I know.
You know, Jim Grumberg doesn't have canoes because Gary Sheffield took the last size 12.
No more 12s.
No more 12s.
Oh,
sorry, Jim.
Too bad you have such big feet.
Just a bit outside.
You know, I think actually 11 and a half might work.
I could squeeze into an 8.5.
Does this sound like the begging and groveling that was going on during the PXG commercial yesterday?
You know, if they run just a little bit longer, you know, I'm sure an 11
and a half might work. He's got a 16 and a 9. Which would you like? You can put something in the toe if you'd like to.
Oh my lord!
All right, we're out of time.
Fun
we're done.
Stuff.
We're finished here.
Fun stuff.
We've had so much fun. It's almost illegal, or it should be. Thanks everybody for being with us. We do love each and every one of you. We'll be back here at the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia, for Friday and round two of the Masters. For Frank Bassett, Jim Grunberg, and all of our wonderful sponsors, we appreciate each and every one of you. I'm Tim Matthews, and we'll see you next time right here on Golf Talk America.